direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So very grateful that you have tuned in today for another edition of Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week we are going back to our study in the Gospel of John. Last week we took a break, and this week we continue working now again through John chapter 5, actually beginning John chapter 5. The first 15 verses this week, which I've entitled the message, The Helper of the Helpless. This is the man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda. It's a very exciting section, which again is drawing out in us true faith. That is the goal of the Gospel of John. And let me just state the purpose of the Gospel of John again. We know that the Gospel of John is the gospel of belief, and John declares that great purpose at the end of the book. All these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in His name. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may know that you have life, that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God, that you may know that you have a mediator, one who has stood in between and paid the penalty, given His life, who is true God and true man, so that you can be redeemed. All who believe can know that without any measure of doubt. Now, this is the great, beautiful truth of the Gospel of John. Let me set the scene for us this morning on Abounding Grace so we see just how powerful this text is drawing out from us this faith. One of the most powerful truths of the Gospel of John is Christ's pursuit of sinners that He already knows. We've seen Him single out and save those from all these different kinds of groups. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, He gives a new birth. The woman at the well is singled out, and Christ fills her adulterous life with living water so that she's satisfied. Last few weeks, we've been looking at the end of John chapter 4, and now we're transitioning into chapter 5. The end of 4 was fascinating, because in the midst of all these sign seekers, there was a warning to sign seekers. He had one man whom He singled out there who received Christ's mercy because he believed the Word. He believed the Word with the saving faith that is not dependent on signs and wonders. Now, are you moved yet, dear radio listener? The whole Gospel of John has shown us Christ seeking and Christ saving that which is lost, and it's been of every kind. You know, we typically present the Gospel today that we are on this great quest of seeking and finding. Well, not really. At the end of the day, the only reason anyone finds is because somebody has found them. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew who He was coming after. He knew them personally. He went after them to save them. He loved them. And that's what we're being shown again today. He's pursuing. And when He's done with you, He will have nothing but a transformed life. As we look at this today, I want you to again see Christ save another. But one of the reasons He does this in this particular account is to confront Jewish unbelief. This whole man's deliverance provokes and confronts the Jews, so much so that by the end of it, verse 16, we read this very tragic statement. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath. This is the most painful display of the truth of John. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. The question the text is provoking us to ask is, have we? Dear listener, have you come to Christ? Have you receive Christ? Have you believed upon Him for life? Look, you're going through John and you're seeing all these people who are severely messed up. They're hopping around from well to well. They don't have living water. They are not born again. These are very religious people. Jesus is the ultimate satisfaction for our souls. He is living water. He gives and he is the true bread from heaven. Have you come to him? I think of John 7, where he raises his voice in the temple, the center of Jewish religion, and says, "Whoever thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Okay, let's pick up at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. John tells us here that this was a particular feast of the Jews. We don't know exactly which feast it was, but there are two things that are said. The two things that he focuses on. He goes back to Jerusalem. Remember last time he was in Jerusalem in John's gospel? Didn't go so well, did it? He went right into the temple, overturned their money tables, made a whip of cords, and drove them out, flipping their tables. Not a way, by the way, to be very seeker friendly. There were three key feasts in Jerusalem, and Jesus has now come to one of these feasts. He's wanted to come back to Jerusalem. This was probably the Feast of Tabernacles. So the city and the region would be swelling with people, all making their pilgrimage back to Jerusalem. Well, now Jesus comes back, and the key here is that it is a feast of the Jews. John has just introduced a whole new class of people. The other Gospels don't emphasize. John has introduced us to now the Jews. 70 times is this statement given in the Gospel of John. And what you will find over and over, my friends, is that when he references the Jews, he is speaking specifically of the religious leaders who want to kill him. Those who are leading, who are his greatest persecutors. We'll come back to this, but isn't this a thought? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him.
The Apostle Paul declared his great purpose in gospel ministry when he said, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, since our foundation in 1997, we have cultivated a vision of Christ-centered gospel preaching and a confessionally reformed witness that seeks to preach the whole counsel of God. We invite you to join us for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com to learn more about who we are and what we believe.
Jesus is here being confronted by the Jews. This is an extremely important point to understand the text that is before us here in John chapter 5. In verse 2, we read this. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. This feast is most likely either the Feast of Tabernacles or the Passover. We're really not told. But what's interesting here is that the sheep gate is mentioned. That was the gate that every year all the sheep were led into for the purpose of being sacrificed to make atonement for the people's sins. In fact, when they rebuilt the temple, the first gate mentioned and the last gate mentioned was the sheep gate. So this means they all started to build the wall around Jerusalem at the sheep gate and finished the wall at the sheep gate. What the sheep gate was a gate in which all the animals were being brought through for the sacrifice for the people's sins. Now, right by this gate is a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of mercy. At this pool were multitudes of sick people, and the text says the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And the fact is that they all sat around this pool, hoping to jump in just at the right moment to get healed. Now, you'll notice this very strange section here in your Bibles that you're curious about at the end of verse 3 and extending to verse 4, which really is not in any of the earliest and best manuscripts. But it does say this, they were waiting for the moving of the water, for the angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, some of the early authors mentioned this situation, Tertullian and others. This was a common assumption of the people about this pool. What most likely happened is that at one time, a footnote, a superstitious idea had been in the area about this pool and in the people's minds about this pool, and a scribe ended up putting it in a footnote, which ultimately ended up in the text itself. Verse 7 tells us that this man was waiting for the water to be stirred. Whether the end of verse 3 or 4 is in the original or not, there's a great question about that. It doesn't really matter too much to the point of the text. The point of the text is that this pool had become a source of superstition and letdown for the multitudes of people who could never get in fast enough. Jesus is the only healer. Where do we have angels doing this? Jesus is the only true healer. And we know this about these sort of phenomenons, these superstitions that come together with pools and springs of water that people will go, sick people will go and sit in to be made well. The minerals are said to be healing. Bath, England is named that for that very reason. The people would come and they would drink the waters because they believed intrinsically something was very healing about those waters. The same thing had happened in Jerusalem as in Bath. At the bottom of these pools were springs. And at certain times of the day, they would bubble up and people believed there was healing power in it. In this case, they believe an angel healed. Today we have a bunch of these sort of superstitions and natural remedies that the sick are desperately trying with the hopes of getting well. And people are obsessed with this stuff. Whatever the case, it was believed from verse 7 that when the water was stirred up, if you stepped down into the pool, you would be healed. I guarantee you, my friends, none of the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers, the rabbis spent time down at the pool. It was universally believed that people were sick because they were really bad sinners. Now, I want us to think about everything that we've learned about Jesus Christ. Think of John's gospel, my friends. He saved one Pharisee. He singled him out. He gave him a new birth. He saved this woman at the well. Last week and the week before that, we've been studying the sick son who was singled out, the sick son who had a father who had become a believer. And the Lord granted healing to the son. And now Christ, knowing the opposition he would face, knowing where he is, he goes to this pool. We should be on the edge of our seats. We read these stories so much, I don't know if they have any more special meaning to us anymore. What's he going to do now? We've seen him by divine appointment go to Samaria to meet this woman at the well and give her living water, to break her from her idolatry, to break her from her sin and jumping around from idol to idol to idol. And Nicodemus the religionist and a man who was caught up in all the signs and wonders. Jesus is filling sinners. Jesus is giving them life. And by now it's very obvious to us that where he goes, someone's going to be healed. We read in verse 5, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus is going to heal him. Jesus is going to show his power. And Jesus is going to draw out of this man true faith. The healing is not the ultimate emphasis here. That'll come in the resurrection. My friends, he wants true and saving faith. But in the midst of this healing, the rage of the Jews will be that he broke the Sabbath. I pray today for you that you would trust in Jesus alone to save, not in your law keeping, but Christ, who is the only one who has the ability to heal your soul. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Look, if you're in Canada, we're right on the border. We're a stone's throw from the border. I can see it. So come join us sometime for worship. We would love to get to know you. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in.